Prison. In the name of Jesus, dear fellow sheep. Yeah? Sheep. That's right. That's what I'm calling you. Except for it doesn't come from me. It actually comes from the good pastor, the good shepherd. This is Good Shepherd Sunday. And you know, I just love the season of Easter because we're looking at all these post-resurrection texts of our Savior Jesus and what he does. It's just wonderful what he does after he comes out of the grave for 40 days. He hangs out with the disciples. He shows up where they're at. He comes to their rescue. He changes their hearts from being full of fear and trepidation to full of faith and confidence in him. And yet today, we jump back before the crucifixion to the Good Shepherd chapter of the Bible. But it's for good reason we do that, because it's all about one of God's favorite metaphors that describe for us who he is. You see, even in the Old Testament, God likes to think of himself as being the shepherd. And I know we're in the city. Not a lot of shepherds around here. Where I was raised, there were plenty of them, a lot of sheep too. But shepherd, this agricultural picture of this guy who's always around a bunch of, well, pushy, shovey, and confused sheep that nibble themselves into all kinds of danger, that are easy prey for those who want them. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And boy, we need a good shepherd like him. He says in our gospel reading, they will listen to my voice. His voice. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of voices in my head and bombarding me all the time. How about you? I mean, some of those voices, well, maybe they're okay. Some of them want to control and manipulate. Some just want to be mean. Some have no good design in what they're saying to you. I mean, don't you wish you could just turn them all off? Amen? But boy, you know, they just come at us all the time in all kinds of different ways. I mean, it used to be, at one time in my ministry, and this just seems strange that I even say this now, there was a time I said to the staff, put your phones away for the day. I mean, not anymore. Boy, you know, I'm in meetings, I'm checking texts, others are checking. I mean, it's just the way it is. Talk about voice attention deficit disorder. How many voices are coming at us? I mean, how many of you actually have two things on when you're doing projects in the garage? Like, I am every once in a while. I mean, give me a break. All these voices. And to be sure, some of them help us with our sprinkler systems, and some of us help us think about and just take a break and enjoy the music. But there's a voice unlike any other. And it's the voice of our good shepherd. And we're going to think here about what he has to say. But we also have to understand a little bit about his flock. In John chapter 10, verse 16, he says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. Now, this is a little challenging for us. As I drive around North Texas, I see a lot of church buildings. I see a lot of signs with multiple staff, multiple pastors. How many pastors are there? How many churches are there in North Texas? Well, there's plenty. So what do we make of that? Well, let me just ask you the question. Which one is right? All these different voices, all these different religious voices calling out to us. Even within the Christian community, all these different denominations. But think about what Jesus says. Let's read this together. and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. How many churches are there really? There's one. How many pastors are there really? One. Now, I'm using the word pastor for shepherd. Latin word for shepherd is pastor. So, how many churches are there really? One. How many pastors are there really? One. In fact, people like me are called under-shepherds. So, I'm just the hired guy, which is kind of a tough thing for me because in this gospel, Jesus says the hired people just run away. So I'm not going to run away, but I want to follow the shepherd who takes care of me so I don't get scared to death or want to give up as an under-shepherd. Because it's his voice that helps me like no other voice does. And it's his voice that helps you like no other voice does. And we're going to think about that as we work into this message. So what does Jesus say that makes his voice so different? Now, bear with me. I didn't mark the Bible. But it's kind of fun just to look at what he says right off the bat, right out of the grave. And so we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that give us an idea. And so what does Jesus say right out of the grave when he encounters his disciples? He says this in Matthew. I don't need my glasses for this. He says, get this, greetings. The first thing Jesus says to the disciples that he encounters in Matthew's account is greetings. That's like, hi, how's it going? Isn't that cool? Says hi. I mean, he could have gotten into their face. Where were you when I needed you? He doesn't. He says hi, greetings. Now, in Mark, the first thing he says, Mark's gospel, you know, all business. The first thing Jesus says out of the grave is, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Boy, Jesus gets right to the business in Mark's gospel. In Luke, it's something different. In Luke showcases when he encounters the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And, you know, this is, I got to do this. You know, the disciples, after they hear the news from the women about the resurrection, they're still, you know, how's it going? Not so well. You know, they're just dragging. They're afraid. The disciples that are on the road to Emmaus have given up. They're going back home. What's the use in hanging around anymore? And then Jesus shows up, and here's what he asks. Here's what he says. He says, what are you discussing together as you walk along? He wants to know. He asks, what are you guys talking about? Of course, they unload on him. What? Are you the only one that doesn't know what happens? I mean, they're having a little bit of post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, they're devastated. They don't know what to think. Their hopes are dashed. It's all over. And, you know, they just sock it to him. Are you the only one that hasn't heard what's going on? And then, you know, sorry I asked might be the next thing he says, right? It's not. That's what you would say, I would say. But what does he say next? He says, what things? He wants to know. What is it about Jesus that's so different? Why is his voice so different? Because he really wants to know what's going on in your life and my life. He wants to carry our burdens. He wants to hear what we're going through. He wants to know what's going on. And he's willing to spend the time to talk with us. Boy, the place of prayer in your life and my life is so, so wonderful. He wants to listen. He wants to talk with us. Then in John's gospel, just to kind of get an idea about this precious voice that's unlike any other, in John's gospel, we get these words. And John records when Jesus shows up, well, when Jesus is out of the grave and Mary Magdalene shows up, she's the first to witness Jesus. And Jesus says to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" I mean, he knows, but who needs to talk about it? Again, who needs to talk about it? Mary does. Who's willing to listen? Who's not going to be the know-it-all? Who's going to be the gentle one who wants to listen and talk and learn and then talk with and help land the fish, so to speak, in a place of comfort and peace? I mean, that's him. That's our Savior Jesus. That's what he does in your life and my life time and time again. Because that's what the Good Shepherd does. That's how he wants to take care of you. That's how he wants to take care of me. But there's more to this. He says things like, repent and believe in the gospel. He wants us to realize that we fall short, but we can trust in the gospel. He says, follow me. He says, pray for your enemies. He says, forgive. He says, show mercy. He says, persevere. He says, stay close. This is the voice of our Savior Jesus. He says things like, I am the way and the truth and the life. Now, certainly, there are plenty of things we catch on TV and we scribble down when we realize we need some help with this, or we Google that or this. And it's nice to have those voices, but there is no other voice like the voice of our Savior Jesus that changes your life and my life. He's our good shepherd. But what do we make of this idea of one church? Well, it's a crazy diagram. Jesus says he is the one shepherd. That's the Kairo for Christ in the Greek language. And that's the church. We could say that's the flock. But what do we make of the Christian denominations? Now, there are some denominations that don't even see Jesus as being God or Jesus as being part of their faith. But what about all the different churches? There is more that unites us as we focus on the voice of our Savior Jesus than divides us. But there are differences. To the extent that the Roman Catholic Church wants to have a different voice than the voice of Jesus, they are pulling themselves away. The same with the Lutheran Church, the Baptist Church, the Presbyterian Church. Now, not all members of a church are necessarily a part of the sheep pen. What makes the difference? All who believe that for Christ's sake they are forgiven and loved are a part of the church. Those who believe in Jesus as the Redeemer of sinners are a part of the church. How many Lutherans are a part of the one flock? The answer is only those who believe. Now, I'd like to think that all the membership of St. Paul are a part of the one true faith. But God only knows. My job, the job of those who want to spiritually care for us, is to lift high the cross, let people know about what Jesus has done so that they can believe and trust in the gospel of God's unconditional love for sinners. And to that end, we are a part of that flock, that family. And we've got plenty to do. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's quite a statement. That's the voice of our Savior Jesus. Now, when you get into your car, it's coming. One day you'll say, Siri, get me to church.
or let's stop by McDonald's first. I know it's getting close. How much authority do you have? You step out into the garage, can you say, Siri's put everything back together, it's a mess out here? I mean, that may come, that'll be a scary day for sure. But think about it. Whatever Jesus wants to say, he can say because he's authorized. I mean, that's pretty powerful. But what does he authorize the church to do? Let's read it together. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Wow, the voice of our Savior Jesus. He authorizes us. And you know, the grammar here in the Greek is a little different. In your going, as you go about your activity, the imperative is on make disciples. And how in the world do we make disciples? By baptizing and teaching. And so this is part of the voice of our Savior Jesus. So as we hear the voice of our Savior Jesus, he calls us to baptize and to teach, to make disciples. Sheep make sheep. And this is how it happens. By teaching them to observe what Christ has commanded, the prescriptions, what he has called us to be about. And that's, you know, to baptize and teach, to take and eat, take and drink for the forgiveness of our sins, to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, to forgive those who sin against us, to talk honestly and openly about our lives with those around us, to be helpful, to be honest, to not steal, to not cheat, and so forth, and to believe in the forgiveness that he won for us on the cross. He says something else here that's so comforting. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. That's a promise. It's not easy to remember that. It's not always easy for me to believe that. But that's the voice I need to hear. It's nice to know I'm not alone. It's nice to know there's a shepherd who laid down his life for me and has promised to care for me. Because boy, I need it. I'm bombarded with voices. Voices out there, voices in here. I'm bombarded with voices, and I know they're not all intended to hurt me. But it's not always easy to understand which one are. And it's good to know there's a shepherd who does, whose voice is unlike any other, whose voice speaks out to you, whose voice speaks to me, who promises to always be with us. You know, I think it's rather humorous that we're called sheep. I know a little bit about sheep because of some of my friendships and where I was raised, and boy, they need a lot of work. So it's actually rather fitting how we can nibble our way into problems, just get lost, follow anyone who offers to feed, and so forth and so on. But there is one unlike any other. And it's our Savior Jesus who will care for us, his precious sheep. In the name of Jesus, my dear fellow sheep, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.